the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And good evening and welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And you can tell, no, I'm not Kevin Tachi. I'm Christine James. I'm your moderator here. We've hijacked Kevin's show again, doing two back-to-back political forums. But Kevin Tachi sitteth at my left hand. Thank you.
Thank you.
With the whole, thank you. With the whole video set up with courtesy of Whitman Hanson Community Television, WATD's Charles Mathewson is on my right.
Good evening.
We've got two races back-to-back. First up, the race for Plymouth County District Attorney with incumbent Republican Tim Cruz and his challenger, Democrat John Bradley. Thanks for joining us tonight, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And the 9th Congressional District candidates will follow immediately after a few minutes after 7. That's Democrat incumbent Bill Keating. He's facing a challenge from Republican Peter Tedeschi. And our format is simple. It's the same format we use every time. You're probably familiar with it if you're a regular listener to WATD. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements. 2 minutes opening limit and closing, no longer than 1 minute. They can be as short as you want, but it can't go longer. We have a round of questions from our reporters. We also have a lightning round. Lightning round means that's either a yes or no answer or one or two sentences tops, and we try to be pretty strict with that. And we also ask, try to keep your answers to a minute. At 1 minute, you get a warning, and then you get the bell. As I have mentioned before, as we've been doing this all season, we use the colored pieces of paper there, the green, the red, the yellow. It seems to keep people very aware of what their time is. Green means go, red means stop, yellow means you have 10 seconds. Now, we just chose the opening and closing order out of the official stand-in for the newsroom koozie because that seems to have disappeared after the last forum. I don't know if it was an unhappy candidate, but it has disappeared. So right now we're using a paper cup. Tim Cruz will go first, and then John Bradley, and then we will reverse that order for their closing statements. So let's say good evening to the candidates again, and let's start with Tim Cruz, your opening statements for our listeners.
Good evening, Christine. Thanks for having us here tonight. I appreciate it, and thanks to WATD for having these forums. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Tim Cruz, and for the last 17 years, I've had the privilege of serving as district attorney here in the county where I was born, raised, and raised my family. I'm very proud of the work that we've been doing in the DA's office for the last 17 years, and also proud of the work that we did back when I was a young assistant DA back in the 80s, really challenging cases that we deal here right now. I was born in West Bridgewater. I grew up in West Bridgewater. I was born in Brockton. I live in Marshfield now. I've been the last 22 years with my wife and my two kids. And working here in this community has been a real privilege to try to make sure that we can keep people safe. Some of the leading issues that we've been dealing with for quite a while are the opiate issues, which has been leading the charge right now with the problems that we've been dealing with, to the extent that back in 2015, myself and Sheriff McDonald put together the Plymouth County Drug Abuse Task Force, as well as Plymouth County Outreach. We worked with all of our 27 police chiefs here in our county and Plymouth County Hope, trying to get help to the people that we can help and provide them with the resources they can to try to break this off their back, this terrible disease. We continue to work and help the people that we can help. We're trying to get to the schools and get to the kids at a younger age and try to let them learn how to stay away from these deadly poisons that are out there, the fentanyls, the carfentanyls, and the issues that are going on right now. And at the same time, we still need to hold the dealers, the people who are not users, hold them accountable for their drug dealing and their trafficking that are occurring here in our Commonwealth. So we continue to work at that. We've been working very hard on gun violence. Gun violence in the city of Brockton, which is our urban area, has been very successful over the last few years. Our gun violence in the city of Brockton is down 21% over the course of the last 3 years, as well as working with federal grants, Project Safe Neighborhood and Operation Safe Streets, which is really bringing everybody together, all federal, state, local officials, talking about the individuals who are the players in the area and making sure we can do our jobs. So we continue to work really hard together. We have community engagement that we continue to work with, our Children's Advocacy Center. I've been endorsed by many police chiefs and unions, and I would thank you very much for the 2 minutes that I have left. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Tim Cruz, the Republican incumbent for Plymouth County District Attorney, his challenger, Democrat John Bradley. Good evening.
Good evening, Christine. Thank you very much. And good evening, folks. My name is John Bradley. I am a Democratic candidate for Plymouth County District Attorney. I am a graduate of Boston College High School, Boston College, and Georgetown University Law School. I'm a career prosecutor, not a politician. I've been a prosecutor for my entire 26-year professional career. And almost 20 of those years were spent right here in Plymouth County in the district attorney's office. I was also a federal prosecutor right after our country was attacked on September 11th of 2001. For the past 13 years or so, I have specialized in investigating and prosecuting murder cases with a subspecialty in the so-called cold cases. So I've done things at the highest levels of law enforcement for a long time. And that experience has given me perspective. I believe that we can improve our criminal justice system, and if elected, I will do so in Plymouth County. I believe in issues like bail reform. Our cash bail system is badly broken. It's unfair. It's discriminatory. It doesn't keep our community safe, and it costs all of us as taxpayers a lot of money. I believe in targeting the illegally possessed firearms in our communities that are constantly being used to commit homicides and other violent crimes. And I believe we can do a better job of taking them off our streets. I believe in a smarter approach to the opioid crisis. We need to stop locking up addicts, and we need to involve the medical community more and rely more on medicine and scientific research. And lastly, I believe in transparency. As your district attorney, if elected, I will be completely transparent. I will meet with members of the community. We live in a day and age where our citizens deserve and need more transparency from law enforcement, and not less. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the opening statement from John Bradley. He's a Democrat running for Plymouth County District Attorney. Let's start our questions tonight with Kevin Tachi, host of Monday Night Talk.
Thank you, Christine. This weekend, we saw more gun violence, this time in Pittsburgh, where 11 people lost their lives. Is enough being done in the state by the Plymouth County DA's office when it comes to gun initiatives, whether it's lawful gun owners or taking illegal guns off the street? Now, if it's yes, what are these initiatives? How are they working? If no, what needs to be done to put initiatives in place or put programs in place? We'll start with Mr. Bradley.
Yeah, every time we have one of these national shootings, they are just awful, and we are often outraged, and unfortunately our outrage dissipates for a short period of time. I believe that not enough is being done in the Plymouth County District Attorney's Office to take the illegal guns off the streets of our communities. If I'm elected, I will make sure that we have at least two detectives whose job it is to focus on taking the illegally possessed guns off the streets. It's never been a priority in the Plymouth County District Attorney's Office. It's never been made a focus. We've been engaged in a war on drugs since the early 80s, yet we've never been engaged in a war on illegally possessed firearms. And those are the weapons of choice in most of the murders and are causing most of the carnage on the streets of our communities.
Same question to the district attorney.
Well, I just wish my opponent would watch and see what we're doing in our county rather than just make big statements, because for the last number of years, we've been involved with federal and state local law enforcement officials getting illegal guns, crime guns off the streets. Just a month or so ago, we had a bust of 29 individuals between Boston and Brockton that we were dealing with and got significant 15 firearms as well as an amount of fentanyl off the streets and getting bad guys off the streets. 16 players that were on a most wanted list were taken off of that. So that's only by working together, and that's when we had Project Safe Neighborhood back 10 years back before the funding ended, and then we're one of only four DA's offices in the country that just got the new Project Safe Neighborhood grant to continue to get resources. We have additional opioid prosecutors and gun and community prosecutors who are focusing on those guns. So like I said, we've had in the last 3 years our gun crime in the city of Brockton has gone down 21%. Our just an incredible amount of work going on, and that doesn't just happen. There was a period of time that we didn't have a firearm homicide in Plymouth County in 16 months, and that's something that I think has been a good job by the police.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
We're going to focus primarily on policy questions tonight, but first I want to get a couple campaign questions out of the way. John, a little detail that we haven't gotten to. Where do you reside right now?
Plymouth.
And for how long?
How long have I been there?
Yeah.
Since July.
Okay. Are you going to make this, maybe you will think this is a cheap question, but it's one that's on people's minds. DA Tim Cruz fired you at one point. You got a judgment, or you settled out of court when you filed for wrongful firing. Is this more than just revenge on your part?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As I've indicated many times, this is not some revenge tour that I'm on. In fact, my lawsuit was never about revenge. It was doing what I believed was right and standing up for myself. I entered this race very late in March of this year when I found out that nobody was willing or able to jump in and contest this election. And I chose to do that because I care greatly about the office where I spent almost 20 years of my professional career, and I care about the people in Plymouth County. And I think they are being done a disservice by the district attorney's office and have been done a disservice for many years now. So that's why I'm running.
And we'll get into that later. But Tim, you've been reelected several times.
Right.
You seem to be spending a lot of money on this campaign. Why is that?
I think you have to spend money on all campaigns. I mean, you have to get the word out and you have to let people know what you do. Unfortunately, many times the things that we do in my profession, the bad things are all easy to be out in the media. But a lot of the positive things that we do, you know, the community engagements and dealing with schools and talking to kids and dealing with the mental health issues in our community, working with all the different groups that we do, internet safety issues, underage drinking issues. I think it's important for people to understand what we do and that the district attorney's office, which, by the way, has never run better than it is right now, in my opinion, and other people in my office. I think that people need to understand that we have a lot of really good people who work really hard, who handle 18,000 criminal cases a year, and do it, I think, as best as they can in very limited resources.
Okay, thank you.
Any other follow-up questions? Okay.
On to the policy.
Oh, thank you. Okay, now I just want to follow up on some of the same kinds of things. Tim Cruz, district attorney, since, I believe, 2001, would you explain why you spent over $2 million on a lawsuit to defend yourself in a lawsuit filed by your opponent? Why not use the AG's office services, and is the standard operating procedure?
Well, I think when you, I think it's always unfortunate when you get sued. This is the first time I've ever been sued by an employee in federal district court, myself, two other people in my office, and the entire office was sued. And so when you have a conflict, and we met with the Attorney General at the time with Coakley's office, and we end up getting other lawyers who were assigned to be Special Assistant Attorney Generals, who had to review their work every 6 months or so. They knew exactly what was going on with this case all throughout it. And I think it's unfortunate that, you know, when you have a baseless claim brought against you, I think you have to fight it. That's why I never would have settled this case. The AG Healy office resolved this matter later on. The five of the six allegations had been thrown out. We knew we were going to win the next one, but I think it was a business decision on behalf of AG Coakley's office that it was cheaper to get rid of it than it was to go forward with it. They did it over my objection. I never would have given him a nickel. He didn't deserve it, and his claims were baseless.
Okay, and John Bradley, how much money did you end up getting in the settlement?
$248,000.
Okay, what about retirement? Was that reinstated, et
yes.
cetera? Okay. Have you promised the first assistant district attorney spot to anyone if you win?
No.
Okay. And all right, Kevin Tachi, questions?
Earlier this year, Governor Baker signed a criminal reform bill into law. One of the provisions in the legislation eliminates a handful of mandatory minimum sentences for drug dealing. What's your understanding of this provision, and do you support this change? We'll start with Tim.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I believe in minimum mandatory trafficking and distribution sentences. I think it's important. I think it's been a very effective tool for law enforcement. And I believe that the district attorney should have the authority and the discretion to make those determinations. That's something that I believe has been important. And over the years, the district attorneys collectively have agreed to certain amendments from much heavier time period in jail on min-mans, from 15s to 10s down to 7s and 5s. And now it's even a lesser amount of time. I think that fentanyl is such a deadly poison out there right now that we need to make sure that we hold the drug dealers and the traffickers, not the users, accountable for what they're doing. And we need to make sure we get them off the streets and let them understand that they're going to be held accountable for dealing those drugs.
I think you kind of jumped on my follow-up, which was that there is a provision in the bill that does strengthen the penalty for trafficking drugs like fentanyl and carfentanil. Are the penalties enough to diminish the movement of these drugs, or does more need to be done?
You know, I was always of the impression that there should have been more time periods that were added to the criminal justice bill. But I know that, you know, many people worked really hard on that, from the EOPS to the House and the Senate and all the DAs and CPCS. There were a lot of minds on that, and they worked on it really hard for a long time. So although I don't agree with everything that came out on that bill, I think, once again, as a lot of legislation, if everybody doesn't agree with it, it's probably a good piece of legislation.
John, same question regarding the criminal reform bill that was signed into law. give me your thoughts on the legislation that eliminates a handful of mandatory minimums for drug dealing. What's your understanding of the provision?
Well, I do agree that we definitely need minimum mandatories in place for deadly drugs like fentanyl. Fentanyl is killing people in our communities on a regular basis. It's over 50 times stronger than heroin, and it's become a scourge in our society. I don't believe in minimum mandatories for more recreational drugs. I think the war on drugs has been shown to be an epic failure in many respects. It's resulted in over-incarceration. It's been disproportionately affecting communities of color. But I think on opioids, we do need minimum mandatories because they have become such an issue in our society. We are deeply mired in a crisis. But I think that the threshold numbers, except for fentanyl and carfentanil, need to be lifted up so that we're not ensnaring users and drug-dependent people and addicts into these draconian minimum mandatories.
So you basically, did you just answer my the follow-up that I gave to the DA in regards to...
I think I did.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Okay, I just want to jump ahead here because this kind of ties into this. Rachel Rollins, who's running for district attorney in Suffolk County, wants to decline prosecuting a number of different crimes. And there's 15. A list here. Yeah, and I'm just going to read these if people aren't familiar with them. Trespassing, shoplifting, larceny under 250, disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, receiving stolen property, minor driving offenses, breaking and entering where it's into a vacant property for the purpose of sleeping or seeking refuge from the cold and no actual damage, wanton or malicious destruction of property, threats that would exclude domestic violence, a minor in possession of alcohol, drug possession with intent to distribute, and a few others. Do you agree with any or all on this list, and what kind of a message do you think it sends, John Bradley?
The problem with that approach, I think, is that there's no alternative. There's no civil alternative for any of those offenses if they're dismissed, and I think it's just simply overbroad. What I do propose, however, is that it's never made any sense to me that as prosecutors, we simply accept and prosecute basically every case that comes into the system that the police charge. And I do think there should be a screening process, that we should be more proactive in declining to prosecute certain low-level offenses based on the particular facts and circumstances. I think we could stop upending lives at the lower levels if we did that, and I think we could save the taxpayers a lot of valuable money by not prosecuting trivial or frivolous cases that don't belong in the criminal justice system.
Do you think any of those charges should be just dropped, period?
You know, I'm reluctant to say any of them because so much of it is fact-dependent. Take a trespassing case, for example. You could have somebody who is a particular nuisance in the community who's got a 10-page record, you know, that's committed a trespass. And I think that's got to be treated differently than somebody who's trespassing and has no criminal record.
Okay. Tim Cruz, what do you think about that? You think there's room for Gamey going along with all of this or some of this, with these list of things that she wants to decline to charge?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not going to... She can certainly do what she wants up in Suffolk County when she becomes a district attorney, but I've spoken to police officers in Boston and obviously police officers in Iowa. I've spoken to Commissioner Gross about this event, and I know that the police want their cases that they arrest individuals and bring them to the court system to be prosecuted. Now, granted, you can still enter diversion programs and things such, which every district attorney office has. You can make sure you're not hurting somebody by giving them a criminal record, a Corey, that perhaps it may affect your ability to get a job or may affect your ability to go to college or things like that. I think that can happen, but to me, these are quality of life crimes, and therefore you need to make sure, in my opinion, if nothing else, that if somebody keeps going and shoplifting and they keep going back and there's no penalty, even if there is a civil infraction with a ticket, say, so to speak, like we have for decrim of marijuana, even if there is that, you can't stop them from coming back. So the importance of those issues is to make sure that you can enforce stay-away orders. You need to stay away from there, and if not, you can violate that on the terms of your recognizance and your release.
Thank you. Sorry, Charlie, jumping ahead of you.
That's okay. I'll jump ahead one of my questions, okay, which is related. Let's start with you, Tim Cruz. How do you decide which cases to prosecute? This is one of the basic jobs of a district attorney. How do you decide what is important to to prosecute and what's not?
Well, I think they're at different levels. You're talking about, you know, a district court where, for the most part, the complaints are brought to us as a norm from the local police departments. And if they reach out to us, and certainly we're available, we have assistant DAs on call to make sure they can fine-tune the charges are going to be there. In Superior Court, it's much different. We have a different procedure for the more serious cases that are going to end up going through the grand jury system and subsequently to Superior Court. And we're fully involved in those matters right there. But there's so many criminal cases coming in, I think that it's incumbent upon the ADAs in the first session to sit down and look at these reports when they initially come in, make determinations as to viability, and whether or not it's going to be a bail question or not. And the vast majority of the people that come into our court system, they all come into court and they walk out of court also, assuming that it's not a serious matter and there's not a serious history of not showing up for court on their records. So I think that, you know, you make those determinations on a case-by-case basis, because I think the fact of the matter is every case is unique.
John, how would you, if you were DA, choose which cases to prosecute?
Well, I would implement a screening process, like I just alluded to, that is not in place now and is drastically needed. I would have somebody in each one of the district courts.
Okay, so this is a basic disagreement between the two of you, because Tim just said that he has a screening process, that the ADAs go over cases, and I've been in arraignment session more often than I choose to admit, and I know that they do screen when the cases come in. So what would you put in place?
Well, respectfully, I disagree. They don't screen the cases when they come in. They accept them, they bring them into the system, and then they decide whether or not there's going to be a bail question. So there's no point in time where, prior to arraignment, an ADA sits down with the police report, reads them, and decides whether a case is worthy of prosecution. And that's the point I'm trying to make. There is so much clutter in the criminal justice system right now, particularly at the lower levels, cases that don't belong there. And all that does is cause delay and cost the taxpayers a lot of money. We could do a lot of good by implementing a screening process pre-arraignment in each district court. And that's what I intend to do.
Okay, I have to follow up again. Tim, do you have a screening process or not?
The ADAs screen the cases when they come in. They make determinations based upon the facts as they see them. And if they make a determination that there is not a viable charge there, there's no viable evidence that's coming in, they're certainly not going to put themselves in a position for asking for bail on a charge that they know that has no viability. So I think that, you know, they certainly look at them, they screen them, if you will, whatever you want to call it, and go through them and talk to the police at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a reminder, you're listening to a political forum here. It's the race for Plymouth County District Attorney. We have the incumbent, the Republican Tim Cruz, and the Democrat, the challenger, John Bradley, right here on WATD. Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
One of the reoccurring problems with the judicial system is that the source of frustration for law enforcement is when judges continuously free repeat offenders. Where does the problem lie? The bail system, the judges, loopholes in the law, or is it something else? Start with you, Mr. Bradley.
I think it's hard to pigeonhole it into one category. I think the bail system is set up so that if you commit a crime while you are unreleased on bail, that is a violation of your terms and conditions of release. So the mechanism is there to have someone then put in jail awaiting trial. Now, the judge has to make a discretionary decision as to whether or not that person presents a danger to the community. And that's oftentimes where things get lost. I think that we could be a little bit more proactive from the judges about putting people in who are committing repeat offenses. But the mechanism is definitely there to do that. And I think it depends upon the nature of the crime and how much on the lower levels we're willing to tolerate.
So basically what you're saying is that something can be done by the district attorney's office to be able to hopefully change the release of a repeat offender who is more than likely to commit another crime while out on bail. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Same question to you.
No district attorney or assistant district attorney in the session has a crystal ball. All you can do is look at the evidence that you have, look at the individual's record, look at the manner and means of the offenses at you, and look at the entire bail statute and make your argument in front of a judge. Because let's not forget, at the end of the day, the judge makes a determination as to what the bail is going to be. The prosecutor and the defense attorney both say their pitches and as to what they think the bail should be. The judge makes the determination. And like I said, sometimes terrible things happen. But I still believe that, you know, cash bail is an important system for us to have, and that we need to make sure that we hold people accountable. And that I see terrible things potentially can happen if you just look at just the rights of the defendant, which is what my opponent talks about. He's looking at the rights of the defendant, which are very important to look at. I agree. But you also need to look at the community and the victims. And I'm just very tired of individuals who are being released on what I believe to be low bail, going back out into our community and causing violent situations and hurting people, police officers or anybody else.
Charles Matheson, questions?
John, you have claimed or charged that Tim Cruz has managed the office with incompetence. Can you give some examples of that?
Yes, I think that the fact that we have had 7 murder cases dismissed here in Plymouth County over the last 4 years is a startling statistic, and it is an example of failed leadership from the top on down. That might be some type of state record. I have never heard of such a thing as a career prosecutor. And the reason those cases were dismissed is because they made awful deals with cooperating witnesses, people who were dangerous criminals, and gave them a reward before the cooperating witness ultimately came through on his end and testified in a case. So what we've had is we've had people, these cooperators, running amok in Brockton, committing serious crimes, in one case committing a murder, and then on the other end, we have all these murder cases being dismissed because the cooperators didn't come through on their end. And that's just a terrible, terrible failure on the district attorney's office's part to keep the community safe. It's really a staggering statistic.
Tim Cruz, how do you respond?
Well, I mean, you're certainly entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And the situation is that, obviously, every prosecutor's office deals with cooperating witnesses. Mr. Bradley's dealt with cooperating witnesses. He signed documents that he signed with cooperating witnesses in the past. So to say that he doesn't is incredibly disingenuous. We deal with very serious cases that occur in our communities. And we try to, especially back at this time, back in 2010 or so, when there was an incredibly dangerous time in the city of Brockton, trying to work to get these dangerous people off our streets. During the time period that I've been district attorney, we've had, unfortunately, 241 homicides. We have a clearance rate of 85%. That means there's been arrests in 85% of those. We have conviction rates in 80% of those. And so those are very high numbers here in the United States and here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So when we deal with cooperators, and we actually, one of the individuals was actually retried on a double homicide and was convicted. And there were four cases that were dismissed, but I'd rather have them dismissed because murder cases don't have a statute of limitations. And we can always go back and try to charge the individuals that committed those terrible crimes in the future.
I'm going to extend this a little bit and say you've given one example of mismanagement. Do you have a second or a third?
Yes. About 4 years ago, Mr. Cruz's top legal assistant was accused of sexually assaulting a young female staff member. And he waited a full year almost before he did anything about that. And in so doing, he violated his own office policy manual. And I think that's another staggering example of failed leadership and failed management, and in fact, a failure to even keep your own female staff safe.
Tim?
Once again, my opponent likes to throw these things out there without all the facts. And in light of the fact that it's a personnel issue, I can't talk about personnel issues. I will tell you this, that if a complaint is taken in our office regarding some sort of serious conduct like that, there will be an investigation and there will be a determination as to what happens. That's what we do if they're ever brought to my attention. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll continue to do. But to sit here and just make allegations without the facts, I think it's a very dangerous business, and I don't think people should be doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now we're going to go on the other side of the fence because we asked John Bradley what Tim Cruz was doing wrong. Tim Cruz, we heard that you fired John for gross insubordination, unprofessional behavior, and declining job performance. Can you give me an example of what that means?
Sure. I mean, John did not like the way the office was being run, and therefore, unfortunately, he would always go on his computer and send these really nasty emails, including to myself, I am not your child, you start treating me with more respect. And that really just, quite honestly, couldn't happen. He had a significant decline in job performance. He was the head of the district courts. He just did not go to courts to sit down with the judges, and he didn't even drive his car to the office to make sure he could do that. So, I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, a long time ago, he and I used to be very friendly. And I'm very. It never is easy to make a decision to move somebody on down the line. But also, I think you also need to look at, you know, his job performance that he had in Worcester. He went to the Worcester DA's office just recently. He had 4 homicide cases. He touts himself as a homicide expert, and he lost every murder allegation that he had out there. He had 4 different ones. So I think that people should understand that it's easy to sit here in the chair and make accusations, but you have to back those up.
Okay. John, how do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, of course, District Attorney Cruz is making accusations, too, but that's, in a sense, what we're doing here. But in any event, let me defend my record as a prosecutor. As far as declining job performance, my last case in the office was the James Winquist case, which was an extraordinarily difficult murder case involving a self-styled white supremacist who beat 2 homeless men to death in Bear Cove State Park. I returned a conviction in that case, and 4 days later, I was fired. You know, I'll rely on my reputation in the legal profession as a skilled prosecutor and trial lawyer. If you talk to any other prosecutor out there, not currently employed by Mr. Cruz, or any member of the defense bar, or any judge, they will back up what a competent, at minimum, prosecutor that I am.
Okay. Let's go over to Kevin Tonchi.
How important is transparency when it comes to day-to-day operations the district attorney's office? Tim?
I think it's as important can be. I think that's what you try to do when you have cases that come in, what you can talk about. You need to keep the community informed, and I think that's what we do to the extent that we possibly can. When people ask us questions, we answer them. If there are ongoing investigations, there's some things you can talk about. There are some things you can't talk about. But I think that people, when they ask for information, we give it to them to the extent that we can. And if we can't, we can't. And we tell them why we can't, if it may be a privilege or something along those lines.
Is that like in regards to like public records requests? Have there been any complaints about public records requests?
There's always complaints about public records requests, usually from the media trying to get information that, quite honestly, we have to make determinations as to whether or not there's certain violations. I know where you're going with this, is that, you know, right now there's a pending lawsuit against myself and 2 other DAs as pertains to information that we did not turn over. And the reason why I didn't turn it over, quite simply, is that if I turned it over, in my opinion, I'd be violating Corey on one hand, or I'd be violating the public records request on the other. That's why we talked to the AG's office, and that's why there's been what's deemed, I guess, a friendly lawsuit, because I need a court order to make to be told to give that over. And when that decision comes, we'll do it at that time.
Same question to you in regards to transparency in the DA's office.
Well, we definitely live in a day and age where we need more transparency from law enforcement, particularly in communities of color like Brockton. Communities of color are at an all-time low in terms of trusting law enforcement, and we need to be much more transparent with them. I would hire someone to keep statistics and analyze data so that we can try to figure out where the inequalities lie that are baked into our criminal legal system and to try to address them. I think it's a terrible thing that the Attorney General's office has been forced to sue the district attorney. And I find it difficult to believe that it's a so-called friendly lawsuit, because it's taken at least 18 months, if not more than that, to resolve. If it was so easy, one would think we could have reached an agreement a long time ago, and either these records could be made public or not.
But wouldn't you think it's like a judgment call as to what records you can release, especially if you do have pending cases?
Well, I think the litmus test has to be, are you putting anybody in danger, or are you jeopardizing a pending investigation? That's always been my measuring stick, my barometer. But other than that, absent some unusual circumstances, I think we need to make the public aware of what's going on to facilitate and restore trust.
Okay. I want to go to lightning round now, because we're getting running out of time. Let's go to Charles Mathewson. Lightning round questions for the candidates. The answers are either yes or no, or 1 or 2 sentences tops. The reporter will tell you what they want.
Assault weapon ban, yes or no? Tim Cruz.
Yes.
John Bradley.
Absolutely.
Cash bail system, keep it the same or reform it? 1 to 2 sentences. Tim?
I'd keep it the same based upon the criminal law justice reform that just came down 4 months ago.
John Same Bradley? Question, John.
I would get rid of it yesterday and impose the federal system. It costs us way too much money. It upends lives at the lower levels, and it's simply not keeping our communities safe.
Two sentences. Okay. Should there be a policy against political contributions in the office of the district attorney? Is it I'll give you three sentences. A free speech issue or not? Should there be a policy? John Bradley.
Yes, there should be a policy that no district attorney should take contributions from his employees. Okay. At a bare minimum, it creates this pay-to-play atmosphere or image within the office.
Okay, what do you think, Tim?
I don't think there should be a limit. I think it's very transparent as it is right now. Lots of times people will have their siblings or their parents give money instead. This way you know who's paying the money.
Three sentences. Sorry. Okay, next, okay.
One word that describes you, John.
Hardworking.
I think that's two, but okay.
It's hyphenated.
That's a compound word.
Okay.
Yes.
That's fine.
Diligent.
Okay. Charlie?
Name your top three news sources. Tim?
I'd say the Boston Herald, I'd say the Globe, and I'd say the Enterprise.
Media. John Buckley.
Media.
Bradley. He's the Register of Deeds.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And he listens to WATD.
The Boston Globe... lately, WATD, and the Brockton Enterprise.
Okay, good. We're going to go to closing statements now. You have a minute to wrap up. We're going to reverse the order that we started with. Remember, we've got 1 minute, so we're going to start with John Bradley, and then we're going to go to Tim Cruz. John?
Thank you. Again, I'm a career prosecutor with tons of experience at the highest levels of law enforcement. I believe when the job of district attorney is properly done, a district attorney certainly has to prioritize keeping his or her community safe. But I also believe that it's equally important that a district attorney act as a minister of justice and a gatekeeper of the legal system. And I don't think that's being competently done in the Plymouth County District Attorney's Office now. Our campaign has generated a ton of momentum, and I think what's most interesting is just about every alumnus of the Plymouth County District Attorney's Office that has left in the past 15 years supports me, supports our campaign, because they know how far the office has fallen versus what it once was. I want to get in there and fix the office so that it properly serves the people of Plymouth County. So I am asking for your vote on November 6th, or before. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was John Bradley, a Democrat running for Plymouth County District Attorney. Now, Tim Cruz, the Republican incumbent running for District Attorney.
I would suggest that my opponent has a radical agenda and is really out of touch with what's going on here in Plymouth County. We need to make sure that we have a district attorney who stands up for character and integrity. So therefore, we need to make sure that person is an individual who is doing their job, including individuals who tell you the truth, in other words, where they live. They're not getting thrown off a state ballot law commission that labeled Mr. Bradley as deceptive, manipulative, misleading, not acting in good faith. Not exactly what you want as a moniker for your district attorney. Individuals need to understand that the district attorney is going to tell the truth at all times. And unfortunately, Mr. Bradley, in his past, the day after he was fired, he broke into my office and took documents out of it and went from there and formed that malicious lawsuit that he filed against me. So I think when people understand that we have an individual who went into an office, an individual who is there also that doesn't tell the truth about where he lives, that's the sort of character that we don't need in charge of the DA's office. I've been there for 17 years. My record speaks for itself. I've been endorsed by every police union in the county, and also by Mike Sullivan, one of John's former bosses.
Thank you very much. That was the Republican incumbent, Tim Cruz. You just heard both candidates running for district attorney. Of course, we will be reporting on that race on November 6th. We'll have reporters with both of these candidates that night. This entire forum will be up on the WATD website with selected cuts that will run tomorrow morning. And I want to thank both of you gentlemen for attending here tonight. I want to thank Kevin Tachi and Charles Mathewson for asking questions. Of course, Amy Leonard for timing, and the folks at Whitman Hanson Community Television for helping us out and taping this. As I tell everybody at every single forum, trying not to cough here, but remember, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. Thanks.